You may think that beer is some yellow flavorless beverage that you may run into at a ball game or see in a forgettable Super Bowl commercial. Well, this is not the case. Beer has become its own complex entity, and breweries from all over the world have created a cornucopia of flavor profiles. The United States is producing a new commercial brewery every 18 months, and the flavors keep diversifying. The navigation of all these beers can be quite overwhelming and complicated at times, but the industry has responded with beer festivals in all corners of the globe to help introduce all this brewing deliciousness to the public at large in a laid-back and colorful environment. At the Great American Beer Festival, held in Denver, Colorado each year, for example, over 450 breweries bring their best concoctions and hope to enlighten the 49,000-plus individuals who come from all over the globe on what new trends and styles are available in the United States beer market. The Great American Beer Festival, or GABF, has become iconic to the world market as a way to introduce any single person to the colorful and creative world of beer. Confused yet? Well, there is a lot of information, and any brewer will tell you. You just have to try it. This all started somewhere. Would you believe it started in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado at a little-known place named Boulder?
Well, I think there are two ways that you really look at Boulder, and that is the home of America's oldest craft brewery and the home of the American Home Brewers Association.
That's Ed Sealover, the author of Mountain Brew, a guide to Colorado's breweries. The world's oldest craft brewery he referred to is Boulder Beer. It was established in 1979, which produced the first commercial craft beer that challenged the dominance of the large domestic lager producers like Budweiser and Coors.
Now, Boulder beer sometimes flies under the radar. You know, Boulder is a town that can be associated with Avery at times, or be associated with Mountain Sun. But few people know that Boulder beer opened in 1980 is the oldest craft brewery in America at this point. That is still an American-owned craft brewery. It's a brewery that in 1980 produced beers that probably wouldn't open a lot of eyes right now. It came out with three beers: a bitter, a stout, and a porter. But at that time, those were incredible beers. Nobody was making anything like that. And as this tiny little brewery that was started in a goat shed, got its beer out to people, people flocked there. You see great historical photos of Michael Jackson, the great beer critic, or Ken Grossman, the founder of Sierra Nevada, gathering at picnic tables in this rural area of Boulder, if there is such a thing, and drinking beer. And that brewery grew, and it's a great story, actually. It grew in many ways. The leaders of Boulder now will tell you too fast for itself. Almost lost its way, started making a light beer in the 1980s, before it really rediscovered itself in the 90s and the early 2000s to become the great brewery it is today. But through all of this, it still is the oldest surviving craft brewery in America, and the influences it's had are great. It spawned brewers who went throughout the country to start their own breweries. It had people come in and trying beers there at a time when nobody else was daring to make something so bold as a bitter beer in America. And it really has a lasting influence beyond what people realize with the heart of the first generation of American craft brewers.
Boulder Beer definitely planted the seed within the brewers of the craft beer revolution. Jeff Brown, CEO of Boulder Beer, explains how different it really is.
It's a fantastic time to be a beer drinker in the U.S. I mean, the styles and the accessibility of what beers are out there is just tremendous.
And Boulder is setting the mark on the possibilities. It has become a beer mecca within the craft beer industry, and this is done through constant innovation. Here's David Sugerman, head brewmaster for Boulder Beer.
As craft brewing evolved and as the craft beer drinker evolved, styles were shifting and preferences were shifting. And a beer, say, take for instance Buffalo Gold, which in 1990 was one of the hottest beers, one of the hottest craft beers in the state, and was considered a big beer. By contemporary standards, it's a crossover beer. It's now a beer that we market to people as if you like an industrial lager, then jumping to Buffalo Gold is not a terribly big evolutionary step. 20 years ago, it was a huge step. The consumer's knowledge of beer and taste have leapt significantly, and that's where the Looking Glass series came in, and beers like Hazen Infused and Never Summer, Mojo, IPA. They satisfy contemporary tastes. 20 years ago, 25 years ago, it would have been considered unpalatable. But today, the boundaries of brewing are being pushed so wide, the array of flavors and aromas we're able to create are really capturing people's imaginations, and it's starting to push boundaries of where wine is and spirits in some cases. There's constant innovation here at the brewery, so anyone who walks into our pub is not just a customer, but they're a bit of market research. So we have the Brewer's Choice series of beers, which is one-off beers that we produce on a 50-gallon system, and that's constantly rotating, and it's something that the brewers have free rein on, developing any beers they want with that, and that becomes market research for new styles for us. You walk in here, we've got, right now we've got two different nitro lines on, so we've been doing nitrogenated beers on draft for quite a while. So it's constant innovation.
Barton Ray, package manager for Boulder's newest commercial brewery, Upslope Brewing Company, weighs in.
Revolution in the craft beer industry right now is instead of having a couple standard products, what you're expected to conform to be able to find the one that fits you the best. And here in Boulder, we have the unique opportunity of being able to try different brews from our different companies around. And you tend to like to sample a lot of them, but you can pick out the couple flavors, the styles that are the best for yourself.
And as beer blogger Ed Sealover explains, these breweries work together to develop the culture that makes Boulder unique.
I'd say that culture is, if not holding hands and singing Kumbaya, at least getting together for a jam session and singing together. It's a great thing in this state to see how many brewers work together. Now, whether that be through, you know, some collaboration beers that breweries make, through the way that you'll see brewers' beers in other breweries on their taps. I mean, one of my favorite stories from the book was the fact that when Ska Brewing started, they nervously walked into Carver Brewing in Durango, seemingly a competitor, and asked them if they could put a tap in their brewery. And Carver was thrilled, fascinated to do it. You know, this is the way the brewers work together. They believe there is a central idea that the more people have and establish a beer culture in Colorado, the more that they're all going to flourish. And I think you see that today in towns like Boulder or Fort Collins or Denver or even Colorado Springs, where you've got half a dozen or more breweries. A new brewery is usually greeted with whoops and hollers because it's one more on the scene and people are glad to have it.
Meanwhile, back at Upslope Brewing Company, Bart Ray contemplates the connectivity of the craft brewing scene.
We know each other on a first-name basis, and we help each other out. Rather than looking at it as us against each other, we often look at it as us against the world and making more people more knowledgeable about better beer. If somebody's going to go out and try an Upslope craft lager, they're going to try a Mama's Little Pils. They're also going to go try a Joe's Pilsner, and they're all great beers. And I think that the more we find, we continue to grow the market of people that like better beer with better ingredients, that have better recipes, and push out that envelope, the more we're all going to be successful. And I think as we continue to grow an identity of Boulder as the craft brew capital of the world, we'll continue to expand, and all of us will continue to be successful.
When is it too much? Matt Cutter, owner of Upslope Brewing Company.
When we first started out, people definitely asked, "Wow, can Boulder handle another microbrewery?" And I thought just the opposite. There aren't enough in Boulder still today. There aren't enough in Colorado still today. Certainly in the United States. You know, we just reached the pre-prohibition equivalent in number of breweries in the United States. And you think of the population then versus now, all these new breweries starting up, I see as being a healing of how things used to be before prohibition and before, you know, the big breweries bought up all the smaller breweries. And it's really the way things are supposed to be. You're supposed to go to a town, roll into town and sample some of the local brew. That's how things are supposed to be. So, yeah, it was always going to be Boulder.
But why Boulder? Daniel Pages, co-owner of Upslope Brewery, helps tell the tale.
Okay, I'm from Argentina, Patagonia. I opened a brewery over there like 12 years ago and moved here a woman, my wife, my actual wife that is pregnant now. So, yeah, the beer industry is here is like, I feel it's the mecca of brew, craft beer industry. That's one of my feelings. The brotherhood between the craft beer industry is great. Like, we help each other. We have to, you know, help each other because we have to reinvent the whole brew beer again. You know, like the know-how has the big brewers before. We had to reinvent or rediscover whole brew beer again. What equipment use? So it's a whole industry is moving on now. From the guys who build small machines to the guys who make small brew house. You know, and it's moving on. It's great. I would say California is another mecca of craft beer industry, but definitely Colorado is one of the meccas. And I would say Boulder maybe is the capital because 80,000 people population, and we have more than 6 craft beer industries here in Boulder.
The story of their meeting shows just how much the industry has changed through new forms of global communication.
Well, I would say the beer, for sure, get us together. And, yeah, we started this 4 years ago, Matt. Like
4 years ago, a little over 4 years ago, we met from an industry website called Pro Brewer. I put a business plan together and knew how to homebrew and knew how to put a business plan together, but did not know how to build a brewery. So Danny and I met. I had a cup of coffee over a couple hours and discussed the possibility of something like this being built. And we, I would say, formed an instant trust between us, an instant understanding that the person sitting on the other side of the table was serious about what they were saying. And we went off to plan and find funding and build. What's Upslope Brewing Company now?
You're listening to Boulder, Boulder Beer, the craft beer world where it started, where it is, and where it shall be, a KGNU radio production. I'm Jeff Willison. The beer industry has sure changed, and Boulder remains a mecca because the understanding that being part of a community is what it's all about. David Zuckerman from Boulder Beer.
I think the craft beer drinker has gone through an epiphany, and that's the realization that beer doesn't come out of an anonymous factory out someplace that they've never seen. Craft beer is in the middle of every community. As such, you can go into the brewery, you can usually get food at the brewery, you can get a tour of the brewery, you can talk to the brewers, you can talk to the management. It's very accessible, and in many cases, you go out and touch it, and that's a very different consumer relationship than the industrial brewers have. And that's something where they can't compete with that at the scale that we can. We have tours Monday through Saturday at 2 here, and those are people who are donating their time to come see what we do. And it's happening, that happens all over Boulder every day, all over the state, all over the country. It'd actually be interesting to find out how many people a day tour craft breweries. It'll be a huge, huge number.
And this model of thinking doesn't just have to include the large commercial brewers. Ed Sealiver.
The theme of the stories that I remember best is the small town brewers in this state are an amazing batch for the way that they draw people into their places. I remember the night in November of 2009, it was snowing out. My wife and I pulled into Dolores, Colorado, population 800, figuring we were going to go to a brewery where nobody was going to be, and 45 people were gathered there because everyone in town gathers there every Friday night. Or going to a place like Three Barrel Brewing in tiny Del Norte in the San Luis Valley, where we pulled up to an insurance office, and the brewer showed us through his insurance office, where he does his day job, into his back room, where he makes Britannomyces-infused beers at night and opens up his back porch during the spring and summer to let people in. So that's what I found most fascinating, is the places that are so small in Colorado that they can support a brewery and how people gather at them, because it is the communal area in every town seems to be the brewery.
And this small town culture is cultivated in Boulder.
Something like Crystal Springs Brewing, a brewery in the Sunshine Canyon area that, well, brewery's a fine word to use for it, but it's made in Tom Worth's garage. But it's fine beer. It's served at fine restaurants in Boulder, and some of the best liquor stores along the Front Range have it in stock. And he's able to make that and still be considered a Boulder beer, even if you have to drive outside the town for it.
Another part of this evolution is the single brewery and restaurant, where the beer is produced on-site and served only within their four walls. Boulder is famous for one of its most eclectic concepts, Mountain Sun. No matter where you go within Colorado, Mountain Sun is synonymous with beer culture and its reflection of the people of Boulder. Ed Sealover.
I remember the first time I ever went to Mountain Sun and discovered a spearmint wheat from a brewery that didn't get its beer outside its own doors. I mean, it's a wonderful feeling. And Mountain Sun is one of the great, is exemplary of one of the great trends in Colorado beer. And that is the brewery that doesn't have to be world-renowned. And we have several of those that have expanded the state's name. But a brewery that just wants to sell to the people that come into it. And, you know, Mountain Sun now has three locations. All of them are packed at all times, it seems, and has 21 beers on tap at any given time in its flagship location on the Pearl Street Mall. And that kind of spirit, if it's not readily apparent, it's at least passed down to places in towns like Ouray or Grand Lake that have their own local brewery that's selling to a much smaller crowd and maybe makes less eclectic beer, but understands that if you serve good beer, people will find you and they'll make you the center of community. And I think that's what Mountain Sun is really part of when you look at its influence on the state.
Mountain Sun started in 1993 with a single location in downtown Boulder and opened up the Southern Sun about 10 years ago. Vine Street is going on 4 years now, and we're just completing the brewery there. So that gives you just kind of an overview of what we're doing.
Brian Hutchinson, head brewmaster for Mountain Sun Brewery.
To me, that it is Boulder personified. It really is. I mean, it was when it was founded, our owner, Kevin Daly, had basically was following the dead, was in law school, decided that's not what he wanted to do, went on dead tour for a while, and got inspired by craft beers, specifically in the Pacific Northwest, and decided that he wanted to open a brewery here in Boulder. And I think he identified that the culture here would be kind of on the cutting edge, which is as craft beer was just starting to become popular. I think he identified correctly that Boulder would be a good spot just based on the type of people that were here. And you can, the second you walk into our restaurants, you obviously get a feel for that kind of the big piece of music and the jam bands and things like that, just based on the artwork that's up and the pictures and the posters and everything like that. So it definitely has kind of that sort of hippie or jam band vibe to it. And I think that that meshes really well, not only with Boulder, but with craft beer in general, just as far as being experimental and exciting and, not watered down.
But let's get back to basics. How is the beer actually brewed? Who better to ask than a brewer?
It typically starts with malted barley being mixed with hot water. And the reason that you're doing that is you're trying to convert starches that are in the malted barley into sugar.
And we know basically, you take four ingredients. You boil water, let malt seep, add hops, boil it again, add yeast, then...
And we're going to basically collect all the sweet liquid from that mash that we just created, and we're going to boil it, and we're going to add hops at that point.
And I've heard you can do that at home. Another phenomenon called homebrewing is continuing to gain momentum. And believe it or not, the largest homebrewing organization in the world is also in Boulder. Ed Sealover.
You've got the American Home Brewers Association, founded by Charlie Papazian, the man who wrote the book, literally wrote the book, on how to homebrew in America. Charlie's a Boulder resident, and when the Great American Beer Festival started in 1982 in Boulder, it was held in a tiny room in a hotel in Boulder with about 25 or 30 different breweries coming to it to pour their beers. Now, of course, you've got a festival that has 460 to 470 breweries a year, 1,700 beers that are poured on the floor, a gathering of 39,000 people from around America pouring into Denver to enjoy this festival. But none of that happens without Charlie and his influence in telling people, make different beers. At a time when you couldn't get good beer on the market, he told people, well, just make them. Take the old British styles and put them together in your basement, and you'll have a great beer. And that inspired not only generations of homebrewers who still read his books, but it also inspired generations of brewers who took that early spirit and turned it into places that were selling beer to the to small, devoted groups, and that really was the seed that grew into this craft beer explosion.
Beer goes in all different directions to arrive at the culture of community, creativity, and innovation that Boulder harnesses within its breweries. The infrastructure is in place, but how does Boulder maintain its prominence? Brian Hutchinson, Mountain Sun.
I think the key to step to Boulder breweries continuing to be successful is simply to make sure that they're staying, that they know how to make good beer and that they're making exciting and creative beer. And I think those are the basics, and not just getting into it for the wrong reasons.
As trends change, people are changing with it. The interest in beer has never been higher, and I wanted to know how to start experiencing beer as a novice. Where do I begin? Ed Sealever explains.
I'd say the way you introduce people to craft beer is take them to any brewery that has a large range of beers and get two samplers and say, try them all and let me know what you think. You know, the common belief is that people who may drink mega-produced American ale or may not drink beer at all are going to go quickly to a lager or a wheat or something lighter. But I know there are certain breweries that have told me they've brought in people that don't drink beer at all, that'll bypass all of that because it's too familiar to things they've had, and that'll start drinking the double IPA or the Imperial Stout. So I'd say try everything.
David Zuckerman and Jeff Brown, Boulder Beer.
You try to get a beer that fits their palate, and then you know that based on the flavor thresholds of beer drinkers kind of seeking more and more flavor and aroma, if you get them to think that Buffalo Gold is a nice, refreshing beer, then, you know, in 6 months or a year, perhaps Single Track, you know that their eyes will have been open to the world of flavor. And that's the key point, but it's, you just got to get them to make that first step and not overwhelm them.
We like to, when there's someone that comes in or is at a festival tagging along with a friend and they say, well, I don't like beer, the first thing out of my mouth is, I don't know that that's true, I just think you haven't found a beer that you like. So here, try these, and if you don't like this, let's go over to another brewer's table and let's try those beers. And I'm going to bet we'll eventually turn you from someone who says they don't like beer to, I like this beer.
And the choices seem to be limitless.
We can produce anything that we can imagine. The ability to take the ingredients and use them in different creative ways is only limited by our imagination. We're in a very enviable position because the consumer is looking to see what you're imagining to do. The beer drinker today is very receptive to whatever crazy ideas you can throw out, so long as it's drinkable. The drinkability has to be there, but I think the definition of drinkability today for the craft beer drinker is very different than it was, again, 20 or 30 years ago.
The culture of people want to be connected to a brewery. They're not necessarily loyal to any particular beer, but they tend to be loyal to the community of craft beer. And that's where I think where we see a lot of the tremendous excitement, the tremendous growth, people really embracing craft beer, is that they love the story, they love what it means to them, and it's the experience that they get from being around craft beer.
The common theme is that you need to start somewhere. There are so many choices in the beer world, and to navigate through them, you need guides. The tap rooms in Boulder's local breweries have become the destination spots to gain a roadmap. and they will continue to do so in the future. You've been listening to Boulder, Boulder Beer, where it started, where it is, and where it shall be, produced by Jeff Willison at KGNU.